I just can't hold it in. That's all I can say. Because this is the news, according to me. Well, good afternoon. It is Sunday, December 12th, 2021. So far, still 2021. Almost 2022. We're getting close. So December is almost, we're getting, almost to the halfway point here. And what's important to know is where I am and what's in my cup. Really, what's in my cup is all you care about. But what's in my cup is specifically from a particular place. It's called Tudor's Biscuit World. Start your day with the homemade way. If some of you are familiar with Tudor's World, you'll know where I am. If you don't, you have no idea. The only reason I'm putting this, I'm not even sure I'm going to put this show, I'm not positive yet that I'm going to put this podcast episode up today or if I'm going to post it for tomorrow morning. Oh, gee, I just had a message come in. I don't know. There's a lot of things going on, a couple things going on that are disturbing. One is about Omicron. The other one is about Julian Assange. Now, some of you probably who watch the news, who are paying any attention, have a clue. Many of you probably don't even have an opinion. You just don't know what to think about Julian Assange at this point, which I wouldn't blame you if you didn't, because there's been so much misinformation about things that he's done. President Trump had some things to say about Julian Assange that I disagree with. Just calling him a bad, he said basically called him a bad dude or bad hombre, whatever he called him. He said he's a bad dude. Now, I'm starting to think probably that possibly President Trump has a different opinion of that now. Because he was being told that he was a bad dude by the very people who want to kill him for double-crossing them. Not really double-crossing them, just exposing them. And I think that probably plays into it, and I think the very same people who... I hope. Whether Trump runs again or not, I hope that has realized now that there is a concerted effort, an organized effort behind the things that are happening, and there is a particular political party, a political movement afoot behind the scenes in the what is commonly called the deep state. Of course, you start talking about deep state, now you're a conspiracy theory guy. But there is absolutely an organization behind the organization. If you don't believe that, you're completely blind. The CIA and the FBI and some other intelligence agencies, they don't. A lot of them don't like each other. By the way, they don't work well together for several different reasons. One of them is just competitive reasons. They don't like having someone else scoop things. They like knowing things that the other organization doesn't know, because they're all fighting for power. So they like having the dirt on people. This is where the FBI has a little bit more power within the country than the CIA does, because the CIA technically does not have the right to spy on U.S. citizens. However, that's kind of a joke with regard to the rules. They have ways around that all the time. The FBI has a much more direct ability to do that. But I digress. I'm already 5 minutes into the show and I haven't told you about what's in my cup. And I'm sure you're dying to know. You're probably not even paying any attention to me because you're just sitting here. Just please tell us what's in your cup, Kevin. Just tell us. Well, and if you are saying that, then you really need to probably seek some help, counsel of some sort. I don't know what you need. Something you need something. I want to check your medication. I don't know what you need there. I have sweet tea. I am in Charleston, West Virginia. Home of the Charleston, I guess. I don't know. Mr. Charleston, I think, lives here. Started this town. I don't know what it's the home of. I do see one big building here that says United on it. I don't know if Has anything to do with anything or not? I have no clue. I've been here most of the day. I'll be heading out of here today and heading to Lexington, Kentucky tonight. I don't think Lexington was hit too hard by the storms that moved through. I know that it was more western Kentucky, south of the Paducah area. Speaking of the tornado, I was going to make this a pretty short show, but I realize I'm rambling on now. I'm probably going to be a longer show than I intended, which means I may just post it today and then just, or possibly, I don't know if I'm going to post it tomorrow morning or post it today. I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. Normally I do a show and I post it right away because I don't know what kind of news is going to change by the time I do this. And I do have some time tomorrow morning to actually do a show. So I was thinking I would probably just do that tomorrow and see what else is going to happen here over the weekend as we get into the week. So consider this the weekend report. I'm probably going to post this today because I know you're really curious because you won't know whether I've posted it today or tomorrow. If I post it tomorrow, you won't know that I did it today. So I don't know why I even tell you about this because if you just post it, you just get it whenever I post it. So what does it matter? If I post it today, it's not an issue because you won't have to wake up tomorrow morning and listen to what I have in my cup. It's a complicated. I got charts and graphs here. I can show you all the timeline stuff later on. But for now, we'll just get away from that. The tornadoes that went through really have rocked the nation, in my opinion. The thing that, I mean, my heart goes out to everybody. I'm just really praying for the families down there, those who were injured, those who are still missing, and the families that are looking for those people, and the families who've lost loved ones, and co-workers, family members. I cannot imagine just all of a sudden overnight just people being, you know, just gone. No, they're perfectly healthy, everything's fine, and all of a sudden, you know, in many cases, I'm sure there was more than one family member that may have possibly been lost, or a whole family. This thing goes through a housing addition. It can take out an entire family, and it's devastating. I'm not going to politicize this. However, I am going to talk about those who will. And what this is going to lead to. Those of you who have any idea what the left is about, they don't give a rat's behind about anybody down there. The politicians are going to use this as an opportunity to push their agenda, and that agenda is, because the end justifies the means, they don't care. All they're going to talk about now is climate change. They're going to call this the worst storm that's ever hit the country. Which as far as in terms of sheer numbers, I'm not sure that it's not the most tornadoes that have hit the country at one time in one day. Some of you might remember Palm Sunday. There's been several tornado storms happen in the country. And in all of recorded history, we don't know how much of that has actually happened, how often it's happened. But this certainly is not the first time. But that's what they'll make it sound like. This is the worst storm in recorded history in the United States. No, it's not. It is probably not the worst storm to hit the country, first of all, but in recorded history, within the last 200 or 300 years, that's about the only information we have going back about 400 or 500 years. So we don't know. And with the lack of population, the more populous the country has become, of course, it's going to have more devastation. You're going to have more damage and more potential loss of life because there's more life. It used to be that a tornado could touch down and you may not even know it for a couple days because the area was so remote that you wouldn't know it. It still happens to this day. I fly around a lot. I look down at the ground a lot. There are some very remote areas in this country. Now, there's probably no place in the country that's been untouched by humans. Very few places that have not had footprints on them. However, that being said, there's a lot of areas that are not being lived on. Part of that is because of urbanization, the way they want to. These social engineers actually want us all to live in little piled up mounds. And there's a reason why most big cities, large cities, are Democrat run. It's because they have you in their little test tube. You don't have a a homestead. You don't have a way to be independent. You become much more dependent on city services and the collective. It's by design that way. And they think it's wonderful. They think it's a wonderful thing because you're all living in society and you're all, you know, doing all that to preserve nature by piling each other on top of each other. Even though you're just concentrating all your poo, all your waste, all those things. And it's, there's, you know, if it was done right, sure, but it's not. So that's just their opportunity to, they seize control with those things. Just look at the big cities and what they're doing with mandates. All of a sudden, workers in New York City, all of a sudden, they're all required to have vaccines in order to work anywhere. De Blasio is trying to make that a thing. Even though I think he's on his way out as governor, but he's like, he's doing that as on his way out. Of course, the new governor coming in is not making any statements at this point about it. So we'll see how that goes. But this is the left's agenda. Now you watch in the days to come, in the days ahead as the week progresses. Now I have to give kudos where they're due. Biden, I think this is just an excuse, but it was actually a decent thing to say. He said he doesn't want the president, he doesn't want to go in and examine the damage, the mayhem that took place there throughout the tornado-ravaged areas because he doesn't want to get in the way. He made it very clear. It's very true. The president's entourage takes a lot of resources out of the community. It takes a lot of effort that could otherwise be being used. You know, just all the security, the police, all the other things that have to be put into place. It takes up a lot of energy from the community that they go into. And right now, they can't really afford that. They would get in the way. They wouldn't be a benefit. Now, he could go to a remote location, get on a helicopter, and fly, you know, 60 miles over to where everything is, and just at least observe the damage from a helicopter. That doesn't do anything. You know, all it does is spend a lot of money, and yeah, okay, now the president sees what's going on there. All he needs to do is sign the bill that says it's a disaster area, and they'll get federal aid, period. That's what they need. He doesn't have to see it to believe it. And you can see all the drone footage. You can see, but now that's an interesting thing, too. We call it drone footage now. A drone, you know, there's a difference between a radio-controlled aircraft and a drone. And the term is getting confused within the world. If you have a little quadcopter that has no ability on its own to fly, in other words, you have to be at the controls in order for it to fly. It will not stay stabilized. It will not fly on its own. It will not fly from one point to another. It will not do anything on its own. That is not a drone. That's a radio-controlled aircraft. If you have a little, whether it's fixed wing or rotary wing, doesn't matter. If you have a fixed-wing aircraft that is able to fly from point A to point B or fly in a pattern or do it its own thing and have like basically an autopilot or a navigational autopilot, that is a drone. A drone is something that's autonomous. It can go on its own, do its own thing that's the basic definition. And a drone is not necessarily an aerial aircraft. It could be potentially a drone could also be a four-wheeled or three-wheeled, two-wheeled, whatever, little creepy crawly thing that drives around on the ground, picks up trash or whatever. Your robot vacuum sweeper, your Roomba or your Shark or whatever you got that works on its own. That is a drone. It's autonomous. It goes on its own. But I digress. I'm getting off on a tangent, which is why you listen to this, because you never know what tangent I'm going to go off on next. And that's kind of part of the fun of this show. It's become a quirk. It's part of my flavor. It's my brand. It's the, I don't know what I'm going to talk about next show. That's what it is. So, I know that's why you tune in. I just know what it is. Because I know my peeps. I know my peeps. Not really. I have no idea who you are out there. Well, I know a few of you, but I don't. So this thing that's happening right now with the tornadoes, that's I just wanted to give you a heads up. Listen carefully to what they say now, and go back over some data in the United States. They're going to say, oh, this is the worst storm. No, it's man-made. First of all, they're saying it's man-made, which that's where the real crux of the issue is. Regardless of what the data says, saying it's man-made is a very huge step. It's a chasm that they're jumping across, an assumption that they're making that nobody can really, in my opinion, verify through scientific data at this point. They can all say it's carbon emissions. Carbon emissions are less than 1% of the actual greenhouse gases that are in the atmosphere. And it's a ridiculous. In fact, now they're saying that the carbon emissions or the carbon in the atmosphere seems to be directly proportionate to the temperature of the Earth, not the other way around. That's most of the scientists that have looked at the whole hockey stick thing that Al Gore tried to present. That's been thoroughly debunked, by the way, but they still like to show it. That's why you don't see it every day anymore, because it was some scientists came out and said, no, this is the data is wrong on this little hockey stick thing. So the couple other things that are happening. One I want to talk about is the Omicron thing. there's a lot of questions that are not being answered. There's only what I'm seeing is a hyper reaction that is pushing the fear factor, and I'll explain that in a minute. The other thing that is happening is the Julian Assange issue, both of which I think will take a little bit of time to talk about. I want to talk about Julian Assange first. Maybe I'll just talk about the Omicron thing tomorrow morning if I do another show, but I'm probably going to talk about Omicron in this show as well, because I just may go a little bit longer. I do have some time here. I can probably talk about it a little bit longer. Or maybe not. I'm just looking at the clock, and I didn't realize how late it was already. So we have this issue of Julian Assange. Now, keep in mind, one of the issues that the government has with this guy is that they can't really go after him and prosecute him based on he didn't hack anything. He didn't hack into the DNC. He didn't hack into anything else as far as government papers or documents. He didn't do the hacking. He just received the data and published it. Now, some of it was classified, but he published it. Well, there have been a couple major news outlets that have done the same thing, but they let them go because they were journalists. What they're trying to say is, well, he's not a journalist. Well, that's baloney. Whether it's just me doing it on this show, or whether it's Julian Assange doing it, or whether it's the New York Times. The New York Times doesn't have an approved journalistic badge from the government. And if they do, that's not freedom of the press. Any one of you can call yourself a press agent if you are doing reporting on your own. That's how a lot of news organizations get started. They just start on their own. One person or a small team of people just get together and they start diving into some journalistic venture. You don't have to be approved by the state. That's fascism. That's China. You know, that's communism. We don't do that here in this country. Well, you're not an approved religion. You're not an approved news outlet. That's what they're trying to do. But that falls right down the line of where they're going with socialism. And that's what this whole thing is about. And we're starting to see the ugly head of all of their ideologies start to rise up when you start looking at the things. And the Julian Assange thing is very, very telling and falls right into place with their ideology. So bear with me as I explain this. Julian Assange is, he exposed things that the government was doing, the CIA especially. CIA hates his guts because he duped them. He basically exposed them. He found classified documents, and there's been, I think the New York Times or somebody Well, it was loud. It was outside my room here, and it's I could hear it on the recording here. Let me slam the doors. It's probably the CIA. It's probably outside listening to what I'm saying. So the FBI, the CIA, and some government institutions, especially the DNC and the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party hates him because he exposed things in 2016 that had to do with what was going on with Bernie Sanders, between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. The documents he shared. Now, what amazes me is that the Democrats are mad at him because he released this information and it hurt the Democrat Party. Well, the fact of the remains that he didn't make anything up. These were actual documents. These were actual emails and correspondence between Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Bernie and Hillary Clinton and the DNC and the DCCC. So, the DNC, whatever it is, DNC, all those DC things. What amazes me about this is that they make it out to be well, we're mad at you because you caught us. This shouldn't have been exposed. This was all internal stuff. And it's obvious that we're going to punish you for catching us doing something wrong. People had to resign over this. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who I cannot believe is still in Congress. I just can't believe she's even still there after doing what she did. She had to resign from the committee. And I believe, excuse me, I believe that, I think that Tulsi Gabbard might have been involved as well with the DNC. I think she might have even resigned. I think based on principle, she got out of it because of what was happening. I don't think she resigned because of I don't think she was forced to resign. I think she resigned on her own because of the integrity that was lost within the DNC, and she didn't want to be part of it. That's the way I remember it, but I can't. I may be wrong about that. So they're mad at him because of that. Well, of course, Hillary thinks that he's the reason. He's one of the reasons. He's only one of the main reasons. She also blames James Comey, who now is a hero on the left. However, Hillary still blames him for the whole investigation thing, for reopening the investigation on her right before the election. And what James Comey did actually was absolute. It was dereliction of duty, in my opinion. He regardless of what you think about the Attorney General, he bypassed the Attorney General on the issue and went straight to the press, that was not his job as director of the FBI. FBI director hardly ever is in a position to give a press conference without the Attorney General's permission or without any other kind of understanding what's going on. So what he did was wrong. Now, Julian Assange, if you have to understand, if he gets extradited, if he gets a fair trial, I'd be surprised. This is going to be a kangaroo court. They're gonna trump up some charges on him. The only reason they don't like him now is because he appeared to be favoring Trump because of the exposure, the damage that he did to the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party damaged themselves by being dishonest and hiding things and trying to cover things up. That's who did damage to the Democrat Party. Make no mistake. You're doing something wrong, and someone catches you. You can't blame the person who catches you. This happens all the time with entitled individuals. Someone who's shoplifting, for instance. This happens a lot with shoplifters. How dare you catch me? I was just trying to get this to feed my family. I was just trying to steal this food or steal this Nintendo because I needed it. Well, someone who's stealing food that's a tough call, but you know what? There are places that give out free food all the time. Now, maybe these people aren't aware of what's available to them in terms of services. from NGOs as well as GOs, government organizations as well as non-government organizations. There's plenty of safety net out there for people who need food, and plenty of people who will give them food. It's having to steal it is probably not the best option. However, you get desperate, and I understand desperate times. I get that. You walk into a Walmart supermarket and you see all the food there, and you think they're not going to miss this apple. So they probably won't. They probably throw out more food in a day than I could eat, I'm sure, in a week. But the issue then becomes one of integrity and honesty. It's easy to be, It's easy to be in my shoes and say that. When you have enough to eat. I got a full belly. Just got back from eating lunch. Got a full cup of giant sweet tea. All the clean water I can drink here in a bottle. It's bigger than my head. That's easy to do. However, it's not easy to do when you are in a desperate situation. I get that. But when you get caught, you're caught. You have to fess up to it. You can't just blame somebody for, how dare you catch me doing something wrong. And it is wrong. It's understandable. It's one thing to do something wrong that's senseless. It's quite another thing to do something wrong and have some modicum of understanding of why they're doing that. It's not still inexcusable, but at least it's understandable. Someone stealing food because they're hungry is understandable. Someone stealing a Nintendo game for drugs is irrational, and it is just an act that is not very bright. And it's, of course, it's also done out of desperation. Going out of road, I didn't want to go down. So let's move on. Let's go to the Omicron thing real quick while I still have time. There's a lot of questions that aren't being answered. I am seeing what I'm seeing, hopefully this is what you're seeing. If you take a look, you will see by politicians all over the world right now, especially in Europe and all over the world, really, Europe and Australia, where they have some serious, much more serious crackdowns than we do here in the United States. And by the way, when you start talking about per capita outbreaks, they play with these numbers all the time. They'll say, well, the U.S. has the worst situation, the worst outbreak, experiencing the worst numbers. Keep in mind, there are over 300 million people here in this country, in this country. And when you start talking about numbers compared to, say, England, who has about 10% of our population, Australia, that has about 25 million people, in a country as large as ours, contiguous U.S. is almost the same size as Australia. And when you start talking about mere numbers, well, of course, you're talking about when you don't match it up with per capita, then now you're talking about it's a totally different world. So there's ten times more people having 10 times more crime than there is in the U.S. than there is in Australia. Yeah. Because there's 10 times more people, actually more than 10 times more people in the U.S. than there are in Australia. You have to keep those kinds of things in mind. But that's lost on most politicians and political activists within the media that want to get their narrative across. We have to keep those things in mind, and that's where they can play with the numbers. That's what happens with this thing with Omicron now. They finally have someone in the hospital with Omicron in Europe. I don't know if it was in Europe or if it was in Australia. It might have actually been Australia. They seemed almost happy about it. I was watching this interview, and this news guy was actually holding this guy's feet to the fire. The guy was trying to weasel out of answering some questions, and he wasn't answering them, and this guy actually kept calling him back to the issue. But here's my issue with Omicron. This is my thought process. See if you can follow along with this and think if it makes any logical sense. First of all, I'll bring this up. The Miss France, I guess, was going to some kind of competition in some other country. I think it was in Israel, I believe. She shows up, they test her, and she's COVID positive. So now she has to quarantine for 10 days. Well, she was vaccinated, fully vaccinated. She might have even had a booster, I don't know. I know she had at least two shots. And yet she was carrying COVID. Now, this is more than a breakthrough case here, folks. We wouldn't have known, she wouldn't have known she had it had she not been traveling and gotten tested. We don't know the numbers yet, but I think when the day is, at the end of the day, if we ever do get to know the real numbers on this thing, we're going to find out that vaccinated people, and this in every study that has been done so far, it's been very small scale studies, however, every single one of them, and they're all being squashed. They're all being swept under the rug. There's some tough questions here that we have to face, I think, that really need to be asked and answered, demanded that we get some answers on these questions. One of them is, what is the rate of infection among vaccinated individuals? Fully vaccinated individuals who contract COVID, and what are the odds that they're going to get it again? Do they have natural immunity after they get COVID, even though they were vaccinated? And the reason I ask that is because nobody's answering that question. Nobody's even talking about that. I have serious doubts about it because I'm not hearing anything about it. I hear about people who've been vaccinated who have gotten COVID more than once. So what is happening here? Here's another question for you. Among everyone who's been vaccinated, how many people who have been tested positive with Omicron or whatever you want to call it, how many of them were vaccinated? Have there been any unvaccinated individuals who've gotten Omicron? Now, you know that if it was only spreading among the unvaccinated, that's all we would hear about on the news all the time. So again, the question comes up with, is it only spreading through the vaccinated individuals? Which, you know, since a vast majority of the population is vaccinated, this makes more sense that if the infection rates are the same in terms of vaccinated and unvaccinated, you're going to have more people who are vaccinated who get COVID or Omicron than you will, because it's no discrimination there. There's no actual immunity among the vaccinated. It's going to be an infection rate that's the same or higher because of the rate of vaccinated individuals in the country. If you have 70% of the people who are vaccinated, you're going to have 70% of the people who are carrying Omicron because there's no resistance to it. No more resistance than there is among the unvaccinated. However, there probably is resistance to it among those who are naturally immune. Now, there are probably a lot more naturally immune people out there who are not vaccinated because they know they have natural immunity. They're not going to get vaccinated because they don't trust the vaccine for good reasons. I have to say, I am a little concerned myself, seeing some of the things that are happening with some of the heart issues that are happening. The Moderna vaccine, actually, by the way, believe it or not, has been outlawed to be given to anyone under 30 years old in some countries because of the heart issues they're having. Now, Omicron, from what we know so far, seems to be much more contagious. Now, this one guy in this interview, he was going on and on about how the contagious rate of contagiousness, or whatever you want to call it, the ability to spread, is, you know, he made up some numbers as he was talking, and he was talking about how fast this thing spreads, and how dangerous that is because it can spread so quickly that that you can overwhelm the hospitals, even if it's only hospitalization rate is only half. Of what we see so far from both South Africa and in the States, the hospitalization rate is not even a tenth. He wouldn't say how many people were in the hospital with Omicron and what they were in the hospital for. Somebody goes in to have leg surgery and they happen to have Omicron. Oh, we have somebody in the hospital right now with Omicron. That's all he said. He wouldn't say what they were in the hospital for. He wouldn't say if they had what's called comorbidities. If they were there for some other reason, or if they were, you know, a person who is on death's bed and maybe a cancer patient who is severely ill, whatever kind of disease they have, they catch the common cold, it can kill them. So you could say, well, the cold killed him. No, it was the cancer, because his immune system was down because of the cancer, and that's why the cold was able to kill him. But that's not why he died. He died because of the cancer. It was a co thing. A lot of people who have heart issues end up getting pneumonia. It just, you know, if you have emphysema, you can get other infections. It's just it's usually not just one thing that ends up doing someone in. Usually that one thing does something to your body that enables the body to not be able to withstand the normal ability to repair itself or to resist certain diseases. And that disease will win out. Just kind of the way that works. So he seemed almost giddy about the fact that there was someone with Omicron in the hospital. He wouldn't say whether that person was vaccinated or not. He wouldn't say what the symptoms were, what they were in the hospital for, nothing. He just went on from there to just say that this is going to overwhelm the hospitals because now the rate of infection seems to be 2 to 3 days. This is the Omicron variant is actually probably the end of COVID. But they're not pointing that out. What they're saying is we must rush to get everyone vaccinated, including all your children, because we're really concerned about the children, because Omicron seems to be infecting children worse, more than the Delta and other variants were. Well, we have a higher number of children being vaccinated. So again, it comes back to the question of, is it only spreading, the majority of the spread, is it only among vaccinated individuals? They're not answering that question. They're not even talking about that. Of course, I just read an article this afternoon that said there's 29 states have Omicron. Yeah, if you don't think that it's in all 50 states, you're out of mind. Right? Oh, look, we have another state that has another case of Omicron. It just happened to happen. This is ridiculous. It's all over the place, okay? Let's go with that. The fact that this thing spreads so quickly and it's so much more mild, it means it will become the dominant strain. And it will give you natural immunity if the vaccine does not block that natural immunity. And it will literally burn itself out, because now you'll have immunity to all the variants and everything else that's out there. And it will basically become, the symptoms that have been reported so far are basically like the common flu. That's how much more mild this thing is. Cramping, basically gut issues, digestive issues. And it's not this cytostorm in the lung thing that's happening. So it could very easily become more of a common virus that we just get, maybe on a yearly basis or something like that, or whatever. It could just burn itself out completely. It is a cousin to the common cold in terms of the way the rhinovirus type of thing that it is, but it's very similar. But so it could become, you know, similar to the cold or flu, which is, you know, how every other plague has basically happened in the world. So this is where we're at right now. And it's concerning, disconcerting, whatever you want to call it, that they are using this immediately to strike fear into everyone so that they can get their way with their mandates and with their vaccine passports and with all the other things that they're in lockdowns and everything else that they're doing right now. they're still having these knee-jerk reactions to everything that's going on. It's absolutely ludicrous. So that's that's pretty much all I was going to say today. I just wanted to get all that off my chest. Tomorrow morning we'll talk more about the. I'll be in Lexington tomorrow morning, so I'll be talking about a little bit more about what I see in Kentucky and what's going on there with the devastation that they went through with the tornadoes and the storms, as well as anything that happens to be going on in the news. I'll be paying attention to some news issues this evening and definitely put out another podcast tomorrow morning. So I think I will be posting this today just because it's such a long show. I thought it was going to be a kind of a short one. I was going to possibly wait till tomorrow. But I'm sure I'll have more to talk about with, especially the Julian Assange thing. There's just some thoughts I want to put together on that whole thing and kind of talk about the history of Julian. And if that's still on the top of mind tomorrow morning, that's what's going to be on my show. So can't make any guarantees because, you know, top of my mind, you know, well, you know, it's mushy. So it could turn into anything. You never know what it's going to turn into. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. The biggest thing you can do for me is just to download this podcast, and then you can delete it if you want to. But just downloads help a lot. Downloads actually push me out there a little bit more. Still kind of looking for a bigger audience if I can get one. Not a big deal, but it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of nice to have more people listen to you, more interaction. Within probably before the end of the month, I'm planning on being live on Rumble, at least having one live video show per week. I'm hoping on Rumble. That kind of will be kind of fun because there's usually a little bit more interaction with people on a live video cast like that. So I'm going to be doing some of that. And that way I can actually play some video clips. I'm going to be collecting video clips throughout the week and kind of a weekly summary of everything that's going on. And hopefully, you know, pick up video clips here and there that I can play on the show and can go from there. Once again, folks, God bless. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for each other. And hang in there. God is still on the throne. We are all here. So let's engage in a moment. God bless everybody. Take care.